Yay Networks.
Welcome to Logically Irrational with my parents, Ty Strickland and Melissa Rycroft. He's a little logical.
Until I start gossiping.
And she's a little irrational.
You've got nothing.
But together, they make the perfect combo.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Logically Irrational.
Hey Mel.
Hey Ty.
A little stressed?
No, not anymore.
All good?
No, I am stressed, that's why. we're coming in a little late, a day and a half. I don't know when this is actually going to drop, but it's Friday afternoon and we usually record on Thursday mornings. It's been one of those weeks.
It's gone by so fast, well, but there's still so much to do.
It's the last week of school. Everybody with kids knows the last week of school is chaotic. We've got end of year parties. We had a kinder graduation. Tear.
Yeah.
It was my last kinder graduation. Yeah. I had NCL meetings. Ava and I are part of NCL this year,
National Charity League.
Had my first meeting because I'm one of the people in charge of the mom and daughter tea. I get to do the tea. How fun is that? Birthday parties. We had a big joint boys' birthday party today.
Which went really well. There's 6-year-olds and it was actually seven-year-olds and 9-year-olds. So there's like 6, 7, 9, and 10.
Yeah. We're at such a fun point with our friends because 80% of our friends, like Beckett's friends, have younger brothers that are Kaysen's age.
Yeah, which is so strange.
And vice versa. So the joint party, which I planned Monday, by the way.
I was worried that the big kids were going to pick on the little kids.
I kind of was worried about that too.
But they didn't. It was perfect.
They played great. But I was getting, I kind of thought maybe I got away with no birthday party this year. Because I think we talked about it last week, right? You cannot have an April birthday with a boy who's involved in sports.
Yeah, right. Because there's so
and have a party. Because between football, baseball, lacrosse, all of that, there is no free day. And I got away with it up until Kaysen's birthday, which was a month later.
Yeah, he's not going to let you get away with it.
And you know what? Rightfully so. You're 6. You should be having multiple birthday parties. So Monday I went, you know what? We're off school Friday.
It was perfect because school got out on Thursday and nobody had any plans for
this
Friday.
This was kind of the first. And it was a morning. It was 10 to 12.
10 to 12.
It was like.
You had like 100%, almost 100%.
Almost. There were 32 boys there. That's a big turnout.
It's a big one.
It's a small little facility, and they played football, kickball. I mean, they were sweating, dripping. It smelled like a hockey rink in there.
It smelled bad.
But it was good.
It was fun.
So pat on, and then I walked away going, I am done with the birthday parties. And now I'm packing for a 7-day cruise.
Yeah.
Which when I think about is starting to stress me out a little bit. I've been doing it all week because when we do these family vacations in our room, there's a corner of our room where I'll just start laying stuff out because I need to visually see what am I packing? How many dress shirts do I have? How many swimsuits? So each boy has a pile. Ava has a pile. I have a pile. And it's just been slowly growing as the week goes on. And now I'm looking going, I still need so much stuff. I don't understand how I need so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't even started yet.
Yeah. Shocking. You're going to pack an hour before we leave. You stress me out when you do that.
I know.
He's notorious on our Vegas trips that we always go on and we'll leave at, usually we've been leaving now at like 9 or 10 in the morning, take the kids to school and then go. Ty will go into the office early, get his work done, and then come home an hour before we're supposed to leave and start packing. And I'm looking at him with daggers, like, I don't want to start my trip being mad at you, but I cannot believe that you're doing this right now.
Yeah, it normally works out though. Just every once in a while, I'm like, I can't find this. And oh my gosh, is it dry cleaning or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It's no good.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. I should say we have our kids at home. Hold on. Okay, back. Sorry. Okay, we should have told the kids to be quiet first and then done the podcast.
Instead of starting. And
so, but yes, all three kids are here right now. So we'll see if we can do this with minimal interruptions.
That'll be good.
You know what else I got to do this week?
What?
DCC auditions, Dallas Cowboys.
I saw some of that.
Yeah. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to tell anybody.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, it's on my TV in my living room.
Yes, I have to watch them on the big screen, so I screen mirror.
Yeah.
Is that what
I don't know how you judge those girls. Because they all look like they're doing the exact same dance.
Yes, yeah, so this is now the
which I guess is how you judge them.
Yes,
but like they all look like they're doing the exact same thing to me. Like I don't know how you can tell one from the other or
that's
distinguish.
Why you don't judge.
Right,
right, right. I will say this is the second round. The first round is the one where like you have people that's just bucket list trying out. You know,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean.
That's the first episode.
That's usually what the first right. episode of the show would be about was, oh, yeah. look.
It's a 65-year-old lady.
Right. right. So by this round, it's...
They're all decent.
Yes, yes. And now what you're doing is you see the girls that are phenomenal compared to the girls that are good.
I would like for you to show me a girl who is just decent versus...
I could do that.
A really good one.
Ava was watching with me and she figured
she
it out.
It.
Yes. She was like, okay, that's one of the really good. I said, yes, you see that? You yeah. see the whole package, the performance.
The only thing I can tell is if they can kick high because right. some of them kick higher than others.
Yes. That's another big yeah. one.
Were you good at that?
I was a kid. I'm very flexible.
Yeah. yeah. I'm very bendy.
I'm very bendy. Yeah. Kicks were not an issue for me. But anyway, a bad thing that happened this week. I hit your car. Yeah. I didn't hit your car.
Yeah, we've got an issue.
Did we tell the story of the gate hitting my car? Because I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah, a week after
I had my car, not even a week. And I was
not even a week
leaving the gate.
It was a brand new model of a brand new car, and like nobody had it.
Yeah, because it was during COVID.
Yeah.
And
was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And what did you hit the gate?
The gate, no. So what had happened was, for those folks that forgot, because I remember telling them, I remember exactly what happened. I was going to my facialist. It was Renew. And it was
facialist.
Yeah, it was, okay. I had just started going there. So I was actually mapping it as, like, I was halfway out the gate and I stopped so that I could map it, because you can't drive and map. And as I was stopped, our gate has a sensor, but the sensor is outside the gate, which is the most ridiculous thing ever. So it did not sense that I was still in the gate, and it closed on me. Yeah. I then...
It has closed on at least 10 cars.
I know. Well, it closed on Ty, but it was my fault because I was actually coming in the other side, and I pushed the button to open both doors, not seeing Ty's car.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, brand new truck.
Down the side.
Brand new truck.
I was out there with all my scratch remover.
Like, yeah, that was nice of you to do that.
Like, I'm going to get it.
And you got most of the black marks off. It's just there's a dent.
There are scratches. And there is a dent. You did get a dent. It hit you hard.
Stupid gate. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know.
You know, like, you know, people don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, they do.
Ugh. Oh,
it's okay. We're going on a cruise in 2 days.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Actually, now I'm in a good mood because we have baseball tonight, tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, y'all.
And then
it is never ending. Yeah, it is never ending.
The next 6 weeks, and we're going to be gone for one of them, but the next 6 weeks
to
is...
take some time off. You know yeah. that, right?
Well, I mean, I'm taking a cruise. I'm going to have to be getting updates, though, like even though the boys aren't there.
I'm not. I am checking out for the week.
This cruise is going to be awesome. The boys have never been... Well...
Yes, they have.
Well, they've never been on a boat this big.
Well, that doesn't matter. A cruise ship's a cruise ship. Then we went on the Disney Dream. That's a huge boat.
This boat is like three times that size.
I'm just saying, they had fun.
Kaysen doesn't remember it.
100%, I bet you Becca doesn't remember it. I don't want them to remember that one because we were stuck out of sea at a hurricane, remember? We were not allowed to get off the boat.
Oh, yeah. That
for
was
two
terrible.
Stops. I ended up with strep throat. Ava ended up with strep throat. It was a horrible cruise.
You know what I remember about that?
Hmm.
Is as we were docking, we were finally getting back. We started getting TV channels again. Mm-hmm. And it was the day after the Las Vegas shooting, the Jason Aldean concert.
Oh, okay.
And I was sitting there watching it. Good Morning America, being like, oh my gosh.
You know what I remember about that? People texting us knowing that y'all aren't in Vegas right now, are you? You're not there. I was like, no, I just go back in the country. But anyway. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. Got some pop news and some reality, keeping it nice and simple.
Yep.
This week. Okay. You remember back in the day when we were kids and literally creativity was key to having fun. We would have to go outside and use our imagination. We built forts out of sheets. I feel like those days are gone. And technology has completely taken over
our children and what they choose to do in their free time. While KiwiCo believes that every kid is naturally creative and curious, and that hands-on experiences build creative confidence and problem-solving skills that can change the world. So what is KiwiCo? Well, they deliver seriously fun learning for kids of all ages, whether it's about science or sensory play, games, geography. Every crate designed by their team of experts inspires excitement, curiosity, moments of discovery. I know you guys have heard me talk about KiwiCo for the past couple weeks now. My kids are huge fans. What I really, really like about it is that there's literally a box for everyone. So Ava, I've told you, loves to bake. So she likes those boxes that inspire new recipes that she can make, ingredients, everything revolved around baking. Kaysen loves his STEM stuff. He loves to build things. And Beckett is my creative one. You know, he likes the kind of the artsy creative world. And it's really great because it caters to each of our kids and how uniquely different they are, all of their ages. There's something for literally every kid out there. And KiwiCo projects, they're designed by a team of educators, makers, engineers, rocket scientists who brainstorm hundreds of ideas to create the most exciting and age-appropriate educational products. Also great about KiwiCo, there's no commitment. You can pause, you can cancel anytime if you find out that it's not for you. But give these kids the tools that they need to learn new skills, build new experiences, make new connections to a broader world, and redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build creative confidence with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/irrational. That's 50%, 50% off your first month at kiwico.com/irrational.
Pop news time.
So let's start with Ben and J-Lo.
No, stop.
I'm kidding. There's nothing to talk about.
I know.
How do you know? Are you cheating?
You've got to be kidding.
No, another power couple, though, Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, there are issues here?
No, no issues at all. They've made a big purchase.
I did hear this.
They
bought a house, I think.
Okay, well, we were going to play a game.
Or something?
They just bought, it's a 30,000 square foot home on an 8-acre bluff. Is what they call
it. A bluff.
Which means it's up high overlooking the ocean for those folks that have never been on a bluff like myself. Overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It's in Malibu. It's in the Paradise Cove.
Oh, it's in Malibu.
Yes. Paradise Cove area, which apparently is also known as Billionaire's Row. Now, the sale is now the most expensive home ever sold in California. What would you say the sales price is?
Okay, so I remember there was a house for sale for $225 million a couple of years ago.
For sale in California?
And I don't know if it ever sold, but I remember that was the most expensive one at the time. Okay. I'm going to guess $300 million.
Okay, overshot. It was $200 million.
That's what it was? Okay, maybe.
That's what they bought it for.
Okay.
It was for sale for $295 million. So they got a really big deal.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you're going to pass that up.
They also paid cash. They paid cash.
Well, when they paid cash, they didn't finance it.
$200 million cash.
I don't... Well...
Does that not... And it's their second home.
Hmm. That's crazy.
Yes. In 2017, they purchased a Bel Air mansion for $88 million.
You know...
Put millions into the home, and now it's worth over $100 million. So this is their second home. Well, now, they probably have... New York
apartment. A bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think that they're worth $1 billion?
I should have looked at their net worth right now. So, like I said, it's the most expensive home ever sold in California. It's also the second most expensive real estate deal ever in the country. The most expensive is a New York City apartment, which, oh my gosh, an apartment.
Apartment, yeah.
For $238 million.
Okay, so it says that Jay-Z is worth $2.5 billion.
It doesn't shock me, because he's a producer, too. Like, it's not just...
I mean, that kind of does surprise me, but... yeah, so he can afford that. I was going to say that...
Do Beyonce, because I bet you she's very comparable.
Is that... Oh, that's probably not including her, huh?
So, the house that they bought was owned... and built by William Bell, who's one of the biggest art collectors in the world. And he apparently had $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion worth of art in the house.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. We are in the wrong business. We should start collecting art.
Yeah, we should be like
I have artwork
pop singers.
That the kids made.
Yeah, I don't think those are worth a billion.
It could be like
actually,
a
Beckett just drew a portrait of you and I.
No.
It's down there on the
Okay, well, for sale. Highest bidder.
Yeah.
Okay, what's B?
Well, so it says $500 million, but this says that them together, they're only worth $1.8 billion together.
Oh, you're getting conflicting stories.
Only, yeah. Only.
Okay, they're worth a lot of money combined. Right.
I was going to say that that's probably not a good financial move for him to pay cash for that big of a house.
You're not going to sell it. I would think that when only one other house in the country has sold more, and it was listed for $295 million, and nobody, it was, you for know what? Years
there's probably somebody that would buy it because it was their house now. Like, there's probably, you're probably getting more money because it's Beyonce and Jay-Z's house.
I have no
like idea. Some billionaire would probably think that was cool.
I mean, it's a beautiful home.
I'm sure. It's on a bluff.
It's on a bluff.
You know,
I've never had
we've
a house
been
on a bluff.
To a couple of houses in
Malibu back in our heyday.
Yeah, but nothing big in Malibu. We've been on little bitty houses in Malibu that are right on the water.
You know why? Because those are still $20 million
yeah, right,
houses.
Right, right. But they're, clarification, they're not our houses. Like, we just
parties.
Went to a
they,
party
like,
there, right?
Which is the craziest thing to me. The people that would rent these houses out and then just throw, like, Us Weekly would throw parties there.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'll just go to a Malibu house and
one
party.
Of the housewives' homes we went to, there was a party there.
Oh, okay. And I don't remember. You're better
was,
at that.
It was in Beverly Hills. It was Maloof's old house. You remember that?
Oh, really? The one where she lived next door to Vanderpump?
I don't know that.
Remember that? Remember when she lived next door?
Yeah, but anyway, we went in and it was amazing.
Well, duh.
And you're in California
yes.
where the weather's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not on a bluff.
Not on a bluff, yeah. That one.
Well, let's keep talking about California real estate. Selling Sunset.
It's back.
Is back.
I'm surprised we haven't started that.
You know why? Because last season I was so bored with how fake it was and yeah. I was just over, like, what I really enjoyed about it was all what they say, the real estate porn, right? It was awesome. And then it became a lot of drama, but then it became a lot of fake drama. And I went, I don't, it's not fun to watch.
It started seeming more and more manufactured.
Yes. And it's such,
and like, there was less
people
real estate.
Are making so much fun of the way these women dress now because it is such a, they wear the most ridiculous outfits. Christine started the trend, you know, where she'd show up
is
and
she
I'm
on
like,
the show?
No, she's off.
She's off.
Yeah. But there is, there's a couple newbies. One of the newbies, though, her name is Brie Tiesi, I believe is how you say her last name. Does that name strike a bell at all? Brie Tiesi?
No.
Well, she is one of the lucky women who welcomed a baby with Nick Cannon.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Back in 2022. It was his eighth child at the time. It was a little boy named Legendary Love Cannon. And
Legendary Love Cannon.
Legendary Love. Now, why she's making headlines, though, is apparently, and again, we have not watched this, and I tried to find a clip for it, but again, my week just got ahead of me. So it was in season seven, episode 7 of this season, and it was a conversation with co-star Amanda Smith, and she said, quote, "The way it works is like after 10, the court can basically say that he can't afford to pay child support." TSC then implied that because Cannon 42 is wealthy, that the rule may not apply to him. So she's basically saying because he has so many kids, he doesn't have to pay child support anymore because the courts deem him, he's going to run out of money. There's too many kids. And
Wait. So you get rewarded for having too many kids?
That's what she was saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Saying, I make my own money. I rely on myself. I did not do this to have a sugar daddy or a baby daddy or anything. Now, legal experts in California have argued that online that parents are responsible for funding each of their kids, but the amount of money may depreciate depending on how many total children.
Yeah.
So if $10 million is his pocket, every time he gets more kids, the other moms, their money goes down. Except for Mariah. I would think Mariah is like, you know what? I was first. I was here. And we were married. My kids, child support.
Mariah's like, I don't need your money.
It's true. Man, I know we've talked about that. She's got to be so annoyed with this whole thing.
Oh, I bet you, like, just irritates her.
Like, I was
like
married to this man.
Getting grouped with all these people.
I had two
that,
kids, and now they've got 15 siblings.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just very interesting. So everybody's talking about that. Like, is it true? Is it not true? Her lawyer has come out and said Nick Cannon does pay child support. But why she would go on Selling Sunset, Netflix, and make a statement like that. I mean, that's a pretty big...
Yeah.
Accusation to make, especially now that her attorneys come out and be like, no, I mean, that's not what she meant.
Yeah, especially if it's not true.
That's exactly what she said.
People are going to see this.
So, but we do need to start also about Selling Sunset. So, Chrishell, and is it G Flip?
I don't know.
I don't have it written down in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they got married 2 weeks ago, right as G Flip was releasing a new single. And then a week later, selling Sunset Premieres.
I downloaded her new single.
Is it good?
No, I didn't download it.
Well, you know why? Because on the radio, they said it was actually really good. They did. They said it was good. Well, people are now saying it was a publicity stunt. Nobody can actually find the marriage certificate.
Well, we saw like them taking pictures and kissing the bride and all that stuff. 100%.
They're in a Vegas chapel. She's in a white dress. G Flip is in a, it looked like a dress suit. And G-flip. They apparently got tattoos of their vows. I almost said vowels.
Vows.
On them. But I don't know. So people are like, is this even real? Or is this just promotion for the show and then promotion for...
I mean, it's sure timely.
G-Flip's album. They did say that they are going to have a big ceremony later. They've been together about a year.
I'm looking at pictures of G-Flip right now. I didn't know what G-Flip looked like.
If you look at
like.
Her age, she's only 20-something.
29.
And I believe Chrishell might be 40. So...
41. Nothing. 29 and 41, yeah.
Is that in our age range?
Well, half plus seven.
Barely. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's not.
Oh, she's robbing the cradle. Yeah. She's too young. I'll tell you what, though. Chrishell doesn't look 40, 41.
No, she doesn't. She looks good.
What do you mean by that?
No, I'm just saying like she looks good. She looks...
Like better than like, me at 40 or 41?
No, heavens, no. I mean, she's okay. Her and G Flip. Just looking at her and G Flip here.
Okay. You're getting hot and sweaty. I'm hot. It's hot in this room that we're in. Okay. A little true crime segment. I really wanted to have the kids do and a true crime intro. Maybe we can make this anytime something's happening. But again, y'all, I wasn't lazy. I just completely ran out of time this week. So Cash App.
Yeah.
You've heard of Cash App. Did you hear about this? The owner or the founder of it, Bob Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Dead. Yes. Okay. So I think by now, because this happened a couple months ago, I think April, we've seen the video of it basically happening outside of an apartment building, stumbling around, looking for help, and then collapsing. Well, his stabbings have uncovered a whole underground world of drug use, swingers, lavish parties of the rich tech industry goers in San Francisco. Who would have thought? And who would have thought they were such party animals, these tech men?
Yeah, because a lot of the tech guys are supposed to be like little dweebs,
dorks,
right? Like
little dorks. Oh, I feel like we just offended a whole group.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we did. Like, that's how dumb we are. But
listen, I no. They're, yeah, way smarter than me. But not who you would think of. That creates...
Like a bunch of Zuckerbergs running around, you know?
Right. Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Unless Zuckerberg's going to these underground...
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
I have no idea. So it was originally believed to be a case of random violence. Right now, there's a lot of crime going on in San Fran. So he was on the street. They thought maybe this was just a random attack. But his friend suggested that it was instead a result of the Cash App founder's indulgent lifestyle among the upper echelon. They used the word echelon of Bay Area society where cocaine and swingers were common. So Bob Lee was 43. He was a father of two small girls. He was going through a divorce. He was separated at the time. Now, this wealthy circle, the group that would get together, was called The Lifestyle. They actually, it's like a club.
Huh.
The Lifestyle. So keep track of the names. There's a couple names and they're confusing. So Kazar Mumeni was the wife of a prominent plastic surgeon. Google her because she is stunning. And also the sister of Nima Momeni. Okay, so you've got Kazar, who is married to a plastic surgeon, and her brother, Nima.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and they were all involved in the lifestyle together. So people in the lifestyle, it says there's lots of swingers, cheaters, and liars in the crowd, but the people within the lifestyle were also known for being incredibly talented, smart people, seeking something new because there's not much in our world for them to do. So apparently, people familiar with the group said that Bob Lee, and Kazar were having an affair and were hooking up and sleeping together at these parties. Her husband was not a member. He was a plastic surgeon, so he's not in the tech group and cool enough to go to these lifestyle parties. He's at home.
But he's sending his wife off.
Well, I don't know if he's sending her or I have no idea.
Okay.
So the night of
April 4th, actually this was at the time it was the 3rd, because this happened early in the morning on the 4th, Bob Lee was allegedly confronted by Nima, Kazar's sister, right? And wanted to know...
Kazar's brother.
Yes, I'm sorry. Kay. Sorry. I know. Sorry. Yeah,
confused.
Wanted to know, like, I hear y'all are having an affair. I hear she's taking drugs. I hear you're taking drugs. Like, what in the world is going on with you? I guess
where are my drugs?
Well, these reports say he was the wet blanket at the party. Like, he was the one in the corner, not participating. My thought is, then don't go. Like, I don't understand. Or like
you want to be affiliated with that.
Well, but if, if you're not having fun and you're not, if that's what you want to do, do it 100%. But if that's
I don't think you should go do drugs.
Well, I'm not going to.
Well, no, I'm talking about them. I don't think they should do that.
Okay, what I'm saying, though, nobody was forcing Nima to be there.
Okay.
And be the wet blanket and whatever. So, like I said, the fight turned heated. It turned ugly. Authorities are now saying, though, that Nima and Bob met up later that night at Kazar's luxury apartment in Millennium Tower. And surveillance showed the two getting into Nima's white BMW at 2 a.m. on April 4th. He is believed to have drove Bob to a secluded area several streets over where he allegedly stabbed the Cash App founder multiple times with a kitchen knife.
Ooh.
You know how hard that must be to stab somebody with a kitchen knife?
Well, it's probably not a butter knife. Probably a kitchen knife.
Like a butcher knife?
No, like a steak knife.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay, because when I immediately thought butter knife, like, that'd be really...
It wouldn't... Okay, moving on.
Sorry, we just also finished candy.
Yeah.
No, it not candy. What's it called?
Love and Death.
Oh, yes. So good. So good. So he has since been arrested for the murder of Bob Lee now that they've seen all of the surveillance and everything. So Kazar and her husband, his name is, I think it's Dino, Alisnia, went to her brother's arrangement.
Arraignment?
Yes, gotcha. I meant that. I caught myself.
Got it.
And they were holding hands, putting on a good front. Prosecutors have laid out part of their case and said that she is the center of her brother's alleged motive. So she's going to be very involved. However, the next hearing they went to, husband was not there with her by her side. It was the first time. Because I was thinking, why in the world is he, like, maybe he knew. Open relationship, perhaps?
Possibly.
I mean, he knew she must have been going to these things, but I would think if you were having an affair and it was made public and she was killed because of it, I'm not sure I want to be holding your hand outside the courtroom.
Unless, yeah, I mean, I was trying to look him up to see...
Dino?
To see who the husband was.
Yeah. Alisiano? Anyway, did you look her up?
Yeah.
Is she not stunning? She's beautiful. Yeah. You can say it. It's all right. Is she hotter than Chrishell?
She's no Chrishell.
I knew you were going to say that. Whatever.
So he doesn't seem... I was thinking maybe he was like a 70-year-old man or
something. He's a young... Yeah, he's an attractive... Yeah. I mean... okay. On to the next...
Yeah. Okay. We'll follow that.
Well, I just found it interesting. I was like, oh, it's the undercover world.
The underworld.
Yeah. You know, it's like the dark web. I don't understand what an underground world is.
The lifestyle.
Okay, next true crime story. The Family Feud murder. Have you heard about this one?
Who is it?
Well, a former Family Feud contestant. His name, this is the episode of the names. Timothy Blyfnik? Sure. Has been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and home invasion in the death of his 41-year-old estranged wife, Rebecca. Now, why this one is... interesting is while he was on Family Feud, listen to one of his answers.
What's the biggest mistake you made at your wedding?
Honey, I love you, but said I do.
Oh. Not my mistake. I love my wife. I'm going to get in trouble for that, aren't I? Yeah.
Did you hear it?
What did he say?
What was the biggest mistake that you made?
Oh.
Saying I do. So it's just... Of course, this clip has gone viral now because he said he regrets marrying her, and then he ends up killing her.
Oh, no way. They got a big fight that afternoon?
No, they were separated for 2 years. They were going through a divorce. He broke into her home and then killed her. He also looked like a sociopath when he was arrested. Like, I just showed you the clip where he looks like a normal human being. Yeah. He's got his hair's like down to his waist. He's all disheveled. He's lost weight. He almost looks like he's homeless. Like, he's tan, like he's been sitting outside for a while.
All because of that clip, huh? All because of the Family Feud.
No, you're not listening to the story.
Yes, I am. I understand. I'm just saying that was the downfall. That's what turned things
negative for him. No, it's not negative what for him. Turned things negative right. for him. It's just ironic that he said that.
It was a joke. It was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
I get it.
Don't worry.
You don't want to do my true crime.
Yeah, no.
I just thought it was interesting. Don't go on TV and say that you're going to kill me and then actually kill me because it's not going to happen.
Right.
Okay.
I promise you I will not do that.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Don't marry Chrishell if you do kill me. That's, okay. She's taken.
Got it.
Okay.
G flip.
Not legally.
Not yet.
No, her vows are on her.
That's right. Right.
Whatever. Reality?
Yeah.
Reality round up.
The Randall scandal on Hulu.
Pretty interesting.
Only one episode's come out. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in. I'm curious. I feel like this one episode, there was so much information. I want to know what else is going to be covered. Yeah,
there's two more episodes.
There's two more. Now, Lala has said on her podcast that she has seen the series. She got an advance of the series and she saw it. And she said it's amazing. She's like, the things that are going to come out are ridiculous. Now, again, she's not affiliated with this podcast. She didn't get paid for it to sit down and do interviews or any of that. Now, did she get paid because they're using clips of her from podcasts? I don't know.
Who knows?
I would assume probably. But... she wasn't behind the creation of this.
Right. I could see her enjoying that there's stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. No one is happier about Scandoval than Randall. Because that's what this season of Vanderpump was supposed to be about, mm-hmm. was what a scumbag he was and Lala finding her way as a single woman. And we'll get into it a little bit.
Sandoval saved the day for her.
Yes. Reunion Part 1 came out. There was no word of Randall.
Oh, my gosh.
So I liked it. Her mom is on it. Her brother's on it. It's really juicy. Like, you don't even have to be a fan of either one of them. It's just really interesting. It's like,
yeah,
power,
I agree.
Money hungry. You know, they talk about him growing up as like a average kid, didn't have a lot of friends, kind of socially awkward. And what happened is he got famous, not even famous, because he didn't get famous till Lala, but he got money and he got power and it turned him into kind of what you hear happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Right. Yeah, just a tyrant. And you wonder, like, how he made the money, mm-hmm. right? Like, I know he had these, like, low-budget action films or whatever.
Yeah, well, they said enough small ones will add up.
Maybe. But because there was a lot of bills that he didn't pay as well,
I mean, the lifestyle was ridiculous. Yeah. Private jets. And, I mean, it's a 5.5% population the way he was living, like even in Beverly Hills and
LA. 0.5 is what you said. Yeah.
Right. He had assistants, y'all, and his assistants would have to pay for everything. If they had to fly somewhere, they had to buy their own tickets.
Well, that's why I was saying, like, how much money he actually had, because it feels like he pushed things off on other people a lot.
Well, and we know what Fofty had to say about it.
He wanted his poker table in Puerto Rico or something. And so he had one of his assistants ship it overnight it, and then get on a plane to come pick it up from getting overnighted and then set it up and then never paid his assistant.
And the assistant had to pay for all that. He said it was like $1,500 in shipping costs plus the flight there, plus the hotel to get there.
Yeah. I mean, just guy's a scumbag. Yeah.
It's a good watch though. One we have not watched. Did we talk about Fatal Attraction last week?
I don't know if we talked about it or not, but it's
Paramount Plus.
It's on
now,
the list. Let's watch it on the cruise.
I will say reviews are not fantastic.
No, it's Joshua Jackson.
It's
right?
Joshua Jackson. Amanda Peet's in it. It looks like Amanda Peet plays his wife. A lot of the reviews, though, are comparing it to the movie.
Yeah.
And I think this is supposed to be a remake, but taking liberties. Like, it's not supposed to be.
It's not the same exact story.
Right.
Right.
Right. And I think people have a hard time with what's
not
the same.
But they didn't do this. Yeah.
Now, I could be wrong. Maybe it's actually not a good movie. Just in what I was reading, that's what I saw. So it's about Dan Gallagher, who's Joshua Jackson, a high-powered L.A. County prosecutor, living a life of means. He's inherited the family business. He has a loving wife and daughter, and he can escape precocious legal situations with a well-placed phone call or two. Then a woman enters his life who he can't ignore. Her name is Alex Forrest. She's played by Lizzie Kaplan, who I don't know quite who that is. Member of the victim services team who ends up in the same courthouse. They obviously have an affair. We know that. We know they broke
and
up.
And
we know
house.
That she doesn't take no for an
that's
answer.
Right.
And that's all we know. I actually never saw Fatal Attraction.
I didn't either.
So I can imagine I know. It's probably like a Dateline. would imagine I know what happens.
Right.
But I'm interested. I like the cast. The original movie was 1987, so
it's been long enough.
Yeah, a whole new audience to see it.
Yeah.
Also, something else. There is a, is it Duggar or Duggar? I think it's Duggar.
The family. 19 in that county
now,
or whatever.
Yes, full disclosure, in case you can't tell because I couldn't pronounce that, I've never watched that show.
Mm-mm.
Never, I don't know anything about them. I don't follow the family. It was just never anything that like struck a chord with me. I feel like I'd probably like it if I saw it. But it's called Shiny Happy People, Duggar Family Secrets, airing on June 2nd on Amazon. Now, reading it, I was like, I could be interested in that. So the executive producers of the documentary have revealed that they were stunned by the levels of abuse survivors suffered at the hands of cult-like religious teachings.
Ugh.
The show is set to expose the truth between the wholesome Americana surface of reality TV's favorite mega family. So it will delve deeper into the Duggars' controversial church, the radical organization, the Institute in Basic Life Principles, IBLP, founded by Shun Minister Bill Gothard. Now, obviously, we all know Josh Duggar. You remember that. He's in jail right now for receiving and possessing child pornography back in 2021. They're going to get into that. I mean, it to me, you know what I mean? I don't know the characters and I don't know a lot of it, but I feel like I could be interested.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll just end with Vanderpump. Not a lot because I'm tired of talking about it, but the reunion did air. I feel like we need to acknowledge
the reunion was aggressive, wasn't it?
I watched the uncensored version.
Was there anything more?
Yeah, so there's 10 more extra minutes. It's confusing, though, because it's not like, here's the unseen footage.
Yeah, it's just in there somewhere.
Like one of the ones I noticed when Andy had asked Ariana, are y'all still living in the house together? What's the living situation? On TV, it was just a quick answer. On Peacock, she went into, well, at first he wouldn't even leave the house. Like he did the whole, this is my house. He would come and go as he pleased, wouldn't tell us when he was. I mean, she went in a lot more.
More detail.
I will say, I'm not one who enjoys a potty mouth. We know that. We are a family-friendly podcast. Hearing the episode non-bleeped out.
Oh, I can imagine.
It hits harder.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, it's every other word. It's every, but it hit, you're sitting there like, oh, I felt that more than the beep, 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 beep.
They're very potty mouthed, aren't they?
Yes. Well, they're very angry. From what I see online, people are not happy with Lala and James, and people are not real happy with Ariana.
I didn't want to come across insensitive because I know that she's been wronged and he's a scumbag and whatever, but I just don't like the aggression and the she's still mad and
well, okay, this reunion aired 2 weeks after. So they are really hot.
I will say that.
I didn't understand. First of all, Lisa Vanderpump doesn't need to be there anymore. This now has surpassed her. But Lala
talking crap to her,
being
man.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
And even Ariana, like, I'm not gonna have a relationship with her if she's friends with Tom. Like, it's just gonna, like, the way they spoke to her, if I'm
and,
her, I'm like, this well, I still
she
have
was
the
like,
power.
Excuse me.
Right.
Like,
I still have the power. This is my show
she
with
probably
my name.
Does. She
can, I am executive producer.
Did she
producer.
Get Lala kicked off the show?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, again, she's executive producer of it, but I think they know this whole thing has become bigger than Lisa Vanderpump. And so she almost to me looked silly being there. She should have come on, addressed it, and then said, I'm going to go, y'all fight. This is not my battle, and I'm not. Because what happened was she was kind of defending Tom and Tom because she had to, because she can't say, no, they're scumbags, but still come to Tom and Tom.
Yeah, right.
But it ended up just not being a good look.
I don't even think she was trying to defend them. I just think that they were being overboard.
Oh, they were being horrible.
Yeah.
They
like, would, and I don't know why James and Lala are so in on this. Like, that's none of their...
Well, I think people think that Lala is redirecting everything that she feels towards Randall. She's taken out on Sandoval.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that James Kennedy, I think he feels betrayed because, again, he lived with Raquel for 5 years. They were engaged. I do think him and Tom are really good friends. Is he over Raquel? I think now he probably is. I think there was probably, it looked like what we watched this season, there's some residual.
Yeah.
He's caring an awful lot for somebody that he said he doesn't care about.
He's just an egomaniac, right?
They all are.
Yeah, I know they all are, but he's like, he's irrational. You know, he's like, oh, like he's nothing such he great says. TV. Is he?
Yes.
I mean,
great TV.
He's, yeah, I don't know. He's, yeah. He's so easy in the, to
in
not
the
like.
Extended one, you know, when he's blowing up and, no, oh, you're a worm with a mustache, yeah, that whole thing. Andy gets up and it's so funny because he's in his face. James is sitting in the chair and Andy's sitting. He goes, all you need to do is sit and shut your mouth. I don't want you talking anymore. I don't want you saying anything.
Andy says
yes.
That?
He goes, and he was like in his face. He goes, I just need you to sit and be quiet. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I think Lala came across real angry. I get why Ariana was angry.
I do too.
I do. Tom, my thing with Tom is I just don't believe anything that he said. When he first thing he said when he started crying, I just want to thank everybody for taking care of Ariana. I was like, don't do that. Yeah, but it doesn't help when they yell at him for it. Because I'm like, now he's going to start, you know what I mean? Like, just let him look like an idiot.
Obviously, he has hired help, right?
I don't know. I think he's doing this on, I think he's like, I know how to handle this.
Oh, gosh.
I've got it. And then you've got Raquel in the trailer smiling the whole time. Well,
you
I
know
want to hear the answer
were,
to
they
that.
They were eating that up.
I want to know.
Just smiling.
Just happy as can be. Like,
no idea what's going on. Just clueless.
They'll get
and,
well, in the one-on-one, she was like, I'm expecting the worst, but I'm hoping for the best. I'm like, what are you hoping? Do you know?
What are you hoping for?
What lion's den you are walking into, girl?
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be a disaster.
So, anyway. Hey, did you hear Pump is closing?
I did hear that.
Yeah. That apparently they raised the rent to $1 million a year. Now, like,
that's crazy.
They've come out and said that that's not true, but Vanderpump says that they've raised it and it just doesn't make any sense. But she's also opening two more restaurants in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Someone, I was listening to a podcast and they said it's so much better financially for her to open things in Vegas, I guess, tax-wise and rent-wise.
Right, and it's just busy all the time.
But
there.
Do you think, well, that's true. But do you think, you know, she's got prime real estate. We've been to, I don't even remember what they're called now. The one, Caesar's Palace.
Oh, yeah. The garden or whatever.
Whatever it is. Yeah. It's cool. It's a very cool place. Yeah. But it's, to me, that rent would be more
That's
expensive
prime real estate.
Than where Pump is.
I don't know. I mean, Pump is West Hollywood. I'm sure it's expensive there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would, like right when you walk into Caesar's, I would think that would be more expensive.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. So
it's working for them. Those places are packed.
I want to go. Every time we go, I'm like, I want to go try again. That's it.
Wow.
Short and sweet today. I tried. I gave you as much as I could today.
Oh, you're good.
Now we're about to go. I have to feed my family, and I've got to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, we've got to go to a baseball game.
I hope everybody has a great rest of the week. I hope you have a great week next week. Don't forget, we will not be here.
We'll be on a boat.
I will be on a boat. Hopefully not in a hurricane. Hopefully not with strep.
Yep.
And we'll be back the week after that. And make sure that you like, rate, review, subscribe, all of that stuff to the podcast. Go to the Facebook page, join us over there. And Tybo, that's it. We'll see you next week.
Same time.
He's reading his phone.
Same place.
Let's do it again. We'll see you next week.
Same time.
Yeah, whatever. Same place.
Over and out.
Whatever.